Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Monday, September 10th, 2018. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by the designee of Commissioner Senegal, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Alford. Your rise, please.
Represent, please. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we glad in. Father, we thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for this country that we live in. Thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to serve you, dictates of our own voice. Father, we thank you for this Commissioner's Court. Thank you for the diligence and for the sharing and the caring that they present before us. We pray that you will give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding how to continue to lead this county. We pray that you would bless all their staff. We pray that you would continue to smile upon our county. And God, we know that if we put you first, and we will come to the right conclusion in matters that we have disagreements over. We pray your blessings be in our midst on today as we move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Say the pledge in unison.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda a little bit out of the order today. Under County Commissioners, item A is to consider and publicly approve the proclamation pursuant to that prevention. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Weaver, seconded by Commissioner Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Are there any representatives here from Spindletop? Come up, please, sir. I'll read this, give you an opportunity to speak. Suicide Prevention Month proclamation reads, whereas in the United States more than 40,000 people commit suicide every year, and whereas in our country suicide is the 10th leading cause of death, whereas community organizations and resources are essential to continuing the fight against suicide and the loss of young lives, and reducing the stigma by discussing suicide and increasing the awareness of available resources for those suffering from suicidal thoughts, it's important to maintaining the health and happiness of citizens and community. And whereas many of those people who died never received effective behavioral health services for many reasons, including the difficulty of accessing services by healthcare providers trained in the best practices to reduce risk, the stigma of using behavioral health treatment, and the stigma associated with losing a loved one to suicide. And whereas public awareness of the warning signs and network available for at-risk individuals are essential to continue lowering the rates of suicide in the country. Now therefore be it resolved that the Jefferson County Commissioners Court recognizes September of 2018 as National Suicide Prevention Month and calls upon all citizens of Jefferson County to observe this month with appropriate programs and activities to support suicide prevention efforts. Go right ahead, sir.
I just want to start by saying I'm Lane Fortenberry, the marketing and administrator, public relations administrator for Spindletop Center, and thank you, Jefferson County, for having us here today. Today is especially important to recognize suicide prevention efforts because today is actually World Suicide Prevention Day. All across the world. So it's really important to, if you're feeling some type of way or you've ever thought about maybe killing yourself, or it's important to be able to talk to the community, to be able to talk to family members, friends about the way you feel. That way you can seek out help. And Spindletop Center is just one of those places where you can come to get help. Even if you don't use us, I just encourage if there are feelings of this, or if you know anyone who's going through something like this, just look up information for yourself and just be sure to share this this information with people, because it's really important just to be able to talk about it, because hope is there and help is available, so it is preventable. So
thank you so much, Mr. Fortenberry. Thank you for all the work that Spindletop does in behavioral health, and I think these are essential to our work here.
Thank you. And I just have some wristbands with our crisis hotline that I'd like to pass out to you guys.
Please.
And if anyone in the audience would like one, just feel free to let me know. I can give you one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Porter. Come forward. Fitzgerald to fill the vacant Jefferson County Extension Agent Agricultural and Natural Resources Position. Do I have a motion on that? Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Zimmerman.
Judge, Commissioner, certainly a pleasure to be here today. Let me introduce myself first simply because I'm assuming a role that Dr. Del Fritz had been in for a number of years, in fact, 25 years. He hired both Howard and myself as extension agents with AgriLife Extension. And so it's my pleasure to present to you today our candidate and finalist for the Jefferson County Ag and Natural Resource Agent, Mr. Tyler Fitzgerald. Tyler's got a wealth of knowledge. He's certainly experienced in the work that we do. He's a graduate of Texas A&M University with his Bachelor of Science degree. He's also a graduate of Tarleton State University most recently. He's been a county agent for over 11 years in Chambers County. He's a native of this area. He knows the agricultural producers. He knows the 4-H members, and certainly is very versed in disaster response and emergency response. So it's my pleasure today to present Tyler Fitzgerald as your new county extension agent for Ag and Natural Resources Court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzgerald. Would you like to say anything?
I'll just say thank you for considering me, and I look forward to serving the fine bill here in Jefferson County Agriculture for sure, and all of the aspects of the AgriLife addresses. Thank y'all very much. Looking forward to what's in.
Welcome. All right. Now the item number purchasing item A is to approve specifications for an ISB for sale of 3/4 of the land. 217.892 acres, 175.5 acres, 162.9 acres for Jefferson County. On the B of the XD received and filed renewal for term contract with Sheriff Department. Uniforms and equipment with GP distributors for a second additional 1-year renewal from August 20th, 2018 to August 19th, 2019, with the price increase as shown on attachment A. Due to increased manufacturing costs, there are some price increases. Item C is considered approved disposition of salvage property authorized by local government code, section 263.15.23 for broken or obsolete items. Do I have a motion on both items under purchase?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal. Seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? And I'll just mention that the 3 parcels of land that are for sale are out in the marsh south of the Gulf Intercoastal Waterway, and those are parcels that the county originally acquired to use as mitigation banks for county projects. And the mitigation banks have been used up, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department is interested in acquiring those tracts. All right, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under Constable Precinct 2, item A is consider and possibly approve the hiring of Ben Shirley as Deputy Constable, Constable Precinct 2, under the ASAP program in accordance with the Local Government Code Chapter 86.011. Do I have a motion on that item? Moved by Commissioner Weaver, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion?
Yeah, Judge, I wasn't able to pull up a document on that. I wouldn't pull up on my computer. Is there, I noticed there's a letter. I know there's always a letter, but anything different?
That's the question I wanted to make sure we had everything covered myself.
I don't see Constable Bates here today.
It's our standard.
This particular provision of the local government code, I have asked the legislature to repeal, because in no other instance do we have the authority to tell an elected official who they're to hire or fire. And this elected official gets to select his deputies. It's a formality that's in the code. And, you know, y'all want to table it until we get a letter, I'm fine with that.
I just saw the letter on Christopher Arnold. He was able to pull it out. So it's a standard letter that we all would receive.
Right, and he had a vacancy, I know that, because we had to transfer. So it's not an increase to his staff. It's just a filling of the staff that the school district would pick up.
Well, and 100% of these costs for these ASAP deputies reimbursed to us by the school district.
Right.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under County Auditor, item A, consider an approved budget transfer for BRC for additional costs for supplies in the amount of $1,750. Item B is consider an approved Title IV e-child welfare service contract and related documents with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services for the period October 1st, 2018 through September 30th, 2019. With an automatic one-year renewal through September 30th, with successive automatic one-year renewals through September 30th, 2025. Item C is consider approved Title IV County Legal Services contract and related documents from Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. Term of the contract from October 1st, 2018 through September 30th, 2019, automatic one-year renewal through September 30th, 2025. Item D is to receive the file Texas Safety Program grant agreements between Jefferson County and the state of Texas for the STEP comprehensive program for the period October 1st, 2018 through 9/30/2019. Item E is to receive and file an interlocal cooperation agreement between Jefferson County and the city of Beaumont for consolidated URI management. Item F is to receive and file an interlocal agreement between Jefferson County, Texas, Port Arthur Independent School District regarding the provisions of the ASAP Deputy Constable for the period October 1st, 2018 and September 30th, 2019. And item G is regular county bills, check numbers 450353 through 450560. Do I have a motion on those items under audit?
So moved.
Second by Commissioner Arnold, second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Only one question, and Patrick. I don't recall seeing this where we automatically renew. Especially extended period like that.
Yeah, this seems to come up every 7 years with the Title IV-E. It's our reimbursement for the child welfare cases that qualify and also for the legal services that's done through the DA's office.
Okay.
And it seems like every 7 years we have to update all these documents for all the officials that have changed since the last time. It's, you know, if we wanted to opt out, we could, but it's good for us to get the reimbursement.
Okay.
I had a judge had a question on E. I know it's already been, I guess, voted on by the court, but I was looking through the documents and the actual reimbursement for the city's postage plus a small amount per, you know, information. Has that been vetted to the point where it's totally funded, or
Mr. Smith here?
Nope.
Fran
has worked on that through okay. with the district.
So the actual cost is 100%.
Right. The 19 cents will be neutral. It will be a neutral.
Okay. That's all the question I have. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. I think County Commissioner. And as we table, item B is just had the opportunity to speak to Sean Davis of Regional Planning, and Jasper is going to be visiting with their board on the 19th, and it's going to be suggested to them that they hire a study be done. Jasper had a study done to determine the impact that it's going to have on the COG. So we can wait until after they've given that presentation. Item C is to receive, file, an executed order establishing the critical Premcor Refinery Reinvestment Zone pursuant to Tax Code Section 312-401 and 312-201. Item B is consider possibly approve and authorize County Judge to execute, receive, and file property tax abatement agreement for property located within the Premcor Refinery Reinvestment Zone between Jefferson County and Premcor Refining Group. DBA Valero Port Arthur Refinery pursuant to Section 312-401 of the Tax Code. Item E be tabled until we have a final legal opinion on the propriety of that donation. Item F is to consider authorizing County Judge to execute a memorandum of understanding between Liberty Heights Community Center and Jefferson County. And I'll hold the last item until after we've taken care of these. Okay, do I have a motion on these items under Commissioner?
Moved
by Commissioner
Second.
Second by Commissioner Alford. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Judge, I was not able to pull up my attachments for some reason, but under F, can I get the Cliff Notes version of that MOU with that?
Yeah, Liberty Heights is a group that's affiliated with Board of Chapel Church here locally. They are a community service organization that want to apply to the Texas Division of Emergency Management for some funding to do disaster repair work on homes in the Beaumont area. And this is simply an agreement that says that they're allowed to go to the Texas Division of Emergency Management and have to make an application for funding. It'll be up to TDM to make a decision as to whether or not they're eligible.
Miss Kennedy, did you have any conversations about this item with any legal people?
No, I saw it for the first time this morning, and I just did a quick run through.
But it's no liability on the county. Thank you, Judge. Thank you.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, is that unanimously? Item G under Commissioners is discussion regarding the appointment of individuals to fill the unexpired term of elected officials. That was requested by Commissioner Senegal, so I'm going to let you begin this discussion, Commissioner. And we have several people who have signed up to speak on this issue.
Thank you, Judge. And I hope my remarks out to speak and speak. We have several speakers still. I hope my remarks.
Okay, just in the order that they are placed on my, do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second by Commissioner Arnold, second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. First speaker is Mr. Charles Kirkwood, is that correct? Richmond, Charles. Is it Kirkwood, sir?
Yes, sir. My name is Charles Kirkwood. I live on 2156 Rockwood Drive. I've been fighting the city of Beaumont for a house they took from me for no reason.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You're not here to speak to the issue. We have our rules of decorum are that only people who are speaking to an agenda item. There's no agenda item in here about that, and we have had conversations about this before.
That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Y'all just keep doing it this way, and it ain't gonna walk away. I'm gonna come back till I get somebody's attention.
This is an issue that relates to past due taxes on the home that is.
That's what mine's about.
The law firm that represents all of the taxing entities. Foreclosed on your home.
It's about paying new taxes. That is the issue, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
And that's what mine is.
It's an issue that's gone through the courts and which has been decided. And this commissioner's court has no legal authority to address your issue.
But listen to me. The high court voted in my favor twice. Y'all ain't did nothing else to it about it. Y'all just let it sit there. And that's not right.
Sir, maybe you should visit. Are you in precinct 4? You can visit with your commissioner, you know, maybe Commissioner Alfred Bisley. It's not in the agenda.
It's an issue that's been through the court system. It's not an issue that under our rules we can discuss. And so,
let me ask you a question, sir.
Have you been up here before to talk to one of us?
Sir, I don't talk to my face turned blue, and I ain't got one.
Okay.
So,
if you don't mind. If you stay until after court, let's sit down and visit and see what I can do to help you.
What's your name?
Bo Alfred. I have never visited with you, never been to my office, but I'll visit with you.
All right.
Okay.
Because it's the same issue about taxes.
Yes, sir. I'll visit with you.
All right.
Okay. Now, Mr. Getz, you are here to speak about this particular issue. You be here?
Thank you, Judge Grant. I'm here in my capacity as a precinct chairman for the Jefferson County Republican Party to address this issue that has arisen and some confusion has come up with regard to Constable Kahn, who was selected to fill an interim position in that office. And it was on the basis that there would be an understanding from him that he would not run for that office. I understand that when that was first spoken of, that there was a representative, a candidate from the Jefferson County Democratic Party that was selected to run for that office, that was being told to the Republican Party that was going to run for that office. Somebody well qualified, somebody experienced, and somebody that, frankly, the Republican Party of Jefferson County had no problem with. We met and we decided not to oppose that particular candidate from the Democratic Party to run for that office. The Democrats could have had a pass under that office had they stuck to that particular candidate. It's not what happened. At the last minute, right before the filing deadline, the Republican Party learned that there was somebody else that was going to be running for that position as a Democrat. Somebody that we did not feel had the experience, somebody that we did not feel had the length of time in the office to serve as constable for that particular precinct. So we, and by we, I'm talking about the Jefferson County Republican Party, approached Charlie Wiggins and asked him if he would consider going ahead and running. Now, we were aware that he had been appointed with the understanding that he not run if he was selected to fill the interim position. And he knew that. But the circumstances changed. It wasn't Charlie that sought us out. It was the Republican Party that voted as precinct chairs to nominate him. That office is one of the most busy constable offices in the county. Running that office and seeing that it runs with continuity and professionalism is much more important than partisan politics. Now, we have an election in less than 8 weeks where the voters of this county will be asked to decide who they want to be in that office. I've spoken to Constable Wiggins, and you know, I'll let him speak for himself, but as far as I'm concerned, he is doing a great job in that office, and I'd urge that he be allowed to continue. Thank you.
Judge, it's all positive because I turned 61 last Friday, and my memory may fail when I try and rebut some of the things that were said. Is that a procedure for me to comment on a speaker as they go, or should I?
I would wait until the end.
Okay, I'll make notes because my memory's bad.
Okay, next is Ms. Irma Lynn Thomas.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, support. Thank you for an opportunity to speak today. I am a mentor, a proud mentor of Joseph Simpson, who was a constable. He was also, before he became a constable, a teacher and a coach. And with all due respect, Earl White was a firefighter, and he served with due respect. I feel that the present person who's up for election, which the voters will decide, has those same qualifications, and she meets all the qualifications of state statute. The only difference that I see that perhaps Mr. Wiggins is concerned with is that she's a woman, and she does not have a little extra piece of meat. That's my opinion.
To repeat that last one.
I said, I think perhaps Mr. Wiggins' problems with her qualification is that she's a woman, and she does not have that extra little piece of meat that the other constables have.
Okay.
Mr. Wiggins, the Wiggins, your family has a long, proud history in Jefferson County. And with you today, I feel that you are disrespecting that honor. In Texas, we say your word is your bond. And if you don't have a word, you all know it. Don't have anything. How can you all decide, elect someone who lies to this court, flat-footed, stood here and lied to you, and you respect that. You are sitting president. And furthermore, the Republican Party's actions should in no way be influenced by what we do as Democrats. If we commit our, we won. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Burnson?
Yes, Javon's qualifications, that's not the point. Bottom line is, our party gets to pick our candidates. That's the bottom line. And we're not doing deals. It's not let's make a deal. I don't care. I mean, that's not, the point is this. Whoever's in power, it happens to be the Republicans at this moment, cannot and should not give an unfair advantage to their party when someone dies or resigns and a position becomes open. And there's a reason, I imagine, that Commissioner Arnold put that stipulation on the record. No one asked him to, but he made a point to say that this appointment is taking place with the commitment by Mr. Wiggins that he will not seek office. It wasn't that he will not seek office as long as he likes the Democrats' candidate. It wasn't conditional, period. It was a stipulation that was made, and I have a feeling Mr. Arnold can talk to it later. It was made so that one party does not give their own party an unfair advantage in a race. And this is especially so because no Republican has ever held this seat before. It has always been a Democrat seat. And so, unfortunately, and I saw Charlie in the hall, and I said, it isn't personal. And he goes, well, I hope not. It's not personal. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here right now. I could be with my girls, having lunch. I could be working, trying to make money. I want to be here on a rainy day in this uncomfortable situation. But the point is this. Is he gave his word. Y'all took it, and he went back on it. Period. That's it. It's not personal. And this court has a responsibility and a duty to do something about it. We can't make y'all do the right thing, but we can certainly stand up and put a marker down and say this is wrong. Can we legally hold y'all accountable? No. But we're saying this is wrong and that the public should know about it, and that's it. And I hope that y'all have the courage to deal with it and address it, which I think is the right thing to do. But thank you for your time, and appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Wiggins.
Commissioner Court, my judge, ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be here today. I will say about the word is your bond, I did agree with that. I did agree from the very beginning that someone else's word meant something else. And so what I did last night, I knew that I was going to need you, but I drafted a letter because I didn't want to say the wrong thing or get too carried away, so if you don't mind, let me read my statement. It's brief, it's not too long. These are my thoughts. Good afternoon. As most of you know, I'm Charlie Wiggins. I'm now the interim constable for Precinct 1. We're gathered today because the Democratic Party is seeking my resignation. Let me start by giving you a little history. Precinct 1 Constable's Office is the busiest office with the highest volume of papers and some of the most technical papers. This requires knowledge, experience, and expertise to execute accurately. My desire was for Precinct 1 to continue our business efficiently and effectively. For months prior to taking this appointment, I was under the impression that Roderick Daniels would be named as the Democratic candidate. I knew he was a great gift and a great fit for our precinct. He had the experience required to complete the tasks of this job accurately. I had complete confidence in his abilities to keep this office flowing well. But things changed because the Democratic Party decided to endorse an individual with limited experience in civil process and with rumors that they would bring in their own staff. I became concerned. I became concerned for the citizens of Jefferson County. I became concerned for the employees of Jefferson County, but mostly concerned for the employees of Precinct 1. Go back and refresh your memory of the election of 2012. the Democrat won the election, took office, and complete chaos broke out and continued during his years in that position. The potential could be a possible repeat of this experience. It's overwhelming for me. My heart was heavy and determined to attempt to stop this from happening once again. From my understanding, the problem lies with the fact that I went back on my word. I changed my mind. I know there's a difference in some of your minds, but how many of y'all in here have ever changed your mind? Has anybody in your mind changed your mind about something important? It happens. I completely understand why this has caused so much disappointment. However, questioning my ability or my integrity, I do not understand. With that said, I have no problem stepping down as the interim constable. Simply appoint the chief deputy or any other deputy in my office, and we will just switch roles. I can return to my deputy constable duties, and the Democratic candidate and I will be exactly the same, in the same role, without anyone having an advantage over the other. Of course, I do not feel that there is an advantage. Remember, as the incumbent, I lost to a Democrat in 2012. Prior to this election, I was a Democrat. The party left me. I did not leave the party. This type of rhetoric is exactly what I needed. I needed to change. I feel the Democratic Party was simply.
I don't wish us to get in the. This is to address the issue of our appointments process and not either the party that we do the staff of. Avoid that kind of discussion.
Is there a time limit? You
have 2 minutes left.
So what did you want to hear from?
Whatever you want to say, but I don't want to get the trash in either party in here.
Okay.
That's the purpose of the discussion part of the commissioner's court, is to address the issue of the appointments process and what's happened. So I want you to have full opportunity to discuss that issue.
Well, I'll say it one more time. You guys consider someone in my office that I can trade roles with. I'm willing to step down and allow that to happen. Other than that, I don't think we will resign. Unless I'm breaking the law. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Joe QB Stevenson.
Good afternoon, Judge. Commission. Please stop me. This is not the time to say what I'm about to say. When this situation first occurred, I wasn't considered for the appointment. I called it to you, Judge, because of my current situation, which is nothing but an accusation all over the world. My concern is, if a vacancy occurs, that I be considered, because if I can be a constable for 16 successful years, I can share the emblem for 2 months. Because anyone cannot operate that office as a department head. It's too much. It puts the county at a liability. One wrong move and we're in court. It's too many documents for a new person to come in to learn and understand. Not only me, there are two other deputies or three other deputies qualified to do this. The difference is I've been there and done that. And I think it would be a smooth transition from May to the winter of the next election. So put yourself in my position, and I'm saying you, Judge, not to call you out. If you or anyone on the court was in my situation, you would step down because it's just accusation.
Yeah.
That's all it would be. And what's confounding to me, I'm not even on that. But anyway, I would say our attorney general himself is unindicted. He had to step down because it's just an accusation. So I'm asking, and Commissioner Apple said something very important. Doing that appointment, you run against the norm. Because Commissioner Sinnamon said you can indict the two couple, which is true. Commissioner Weaver said no one came and talked to him. Why didn't they, I need to go really speak to anyone for y'all to do what was right? And I felt that was to consider me for that appointment when Constable White left. So I'm asking, if by chance they become a vacancy, that you all would consider allowing me to finish this term or be seated in an office for however long that it may be. Thank you.
Yes, Judge. First of all, I'd like to say that to Mr. Guest's remark is that as long as I've been in the Democratic Party, we don't do backdoor deals. If that meeting was held, Kate Burson, as our Democratic chair, should have been involved, and if he would have cut the deal with you, I would have upheld that deal. She said some other people came and you approached. So I'm not bound by that deal because I support the Democratic Party. Second of all, as Mr. Armand Thomas said, the word is your bond. All I got, most of the deals I do, my secretary's here, is with a handshake. And when I give you my word, unless you do something that was on record different, you have my support. I tried to support Deputy Constable Stevens, and I respect the three gentlemen, and you heard no negative remarks about their vote. Commissioner Alford didn't make any, I didn't make any. That was fine. But it was basic. And one of the reasons I respected it is because he did give his word to this court that he would not run. I do feel it's an unfair advantage that he's acting. Plus, if it's that many papers to serve, he won't have time to campaign anyway. So we're really, resigning would do him a favor, something. Next of all, questioning Ms. Pollard's qualifications. When I took this seat, I'd never been in commissioner's court. I've been re-elected three times. It's on the job. You learn the job. She's serving papers now. She's doing different things. So I don't think her qualifications should even came into this thing. Commissioner Wiggins, I totally respected you. When you left the party earlier, I said, why? Because you're the same man. I respected the way you handled it. That's your personal decision. Now, my problem with that is, you did lose in 2012 to what turned out to be a less in the same precinct. So the voters said they didn't want you anymore. So I have a problem with that because I don't have a dog in the fight other than my vote on this court affects everyone in Jefferson County. I'm in Port Arthur. But the citizens and our precinct chair came to me and asked me, did I have a problem because if you've gone back on your word. Personally, it's not personal. Never will be personal. There's no one in here I've had anything personal again. I try and do what's right. That's why I nominated Deputy Constable Stevens. So for us to go back on that, it's going back on our word too. Next, finally, I will not let you guys bargain with my vote on who you want in that office. If there's someone outside of that office that's more qualified, I suggest this court do that. But you guys will not get my vote on who should be, if you resign. You either stand at the podium and resign as a man and run against this young lady and let the voters decide, but I would not bargain with you. So I respect you more if you just stand this. I'm resigning no matter what y'all do. And let this court, those three gentlemen, this gentleman and myself, decide who would be best and whoever wins the vote wins. I'm not going to hold these guys by any more deals. The two chair people should be the ones. It's about the party. It's not about individuals. And that's the way I feel about it. Now, I want to read this letter, Judge, to put it in the record. You want this before I read it?
If you don't mind. First, I want to answer a question that was brought to the table about Commissioner Arnold asking a question. Preston. In this court, whenever we make an appointment, one of us asks, whoever that may be, and they ask that question, and that is, we are appointing you with the knowledge that you will not run, and you answered, that has been precedent since I've been here. We did go out of precedent. Second thing, I agree with Commissioner Senegal.
we, as a court, it is illegal for us to let somebody get up there and bargain our vote. That's against the law. So I stand straight up without wavering none. I take no action on what was said because I will not, and I say it again, will not vote under hostage. Never. The next thing is, I think it's very important. None of us come up here with a blueprint knowing how to run an office or anything else. We have a knowledge and idea, but the voters have to have the trust in us to give us that opportunity. And that's what the only thing that it called for, the voters having their trust and belief and give you that opportunity. So I cannot say who's qualified, who's not qualified. I know from what I've heard from the Democratic chair, they use a process to select individuals. Knew nothing about it. They use a process, and that's how it came about. There have not been, by this commissioner, and I hope not, by that chairman of the Democratic Party, any deal cut, because that to me is a real problem in the community if we're doing things like that. That concludes my statements.
Right, Judge, I'd like to read the statement. Whereas a proud Democrat who understands and supports the complexities of our two-party system, i.e. Democratic and Republican, I am extremely concerned about the seemingly destructive tone being set on the national level, a tone that's transcended down to the state level and now is trickling down to the county level, where fairness, bipartisanship, and respect seem to be a novelty and not a must, a negative and not a necessity for survival of our nation. As I have repeated in several conversations with citizens across our great state, the biggest problem I see throughout the political agenda of America is the lack of statesmen, men and women who put our nation, state, and county, et cetera, before themselves. With all that said, seemingly our local county level has been drawn into a partisan divide that's driven by do-or-die politics based in Tea Party threats. Honesty and integrity are side words that are hypocritically used by those disguising their true motives of divide and conquer. Whereas we as a court each have our base constituents we must account for, we should all have common ground that should never be trampled nor compromised. Therefore, where we have no legal grounds nor control over the situation at hand, and I would ask that the same individuals that advised Precinct 1 Emerald to accept the nomination as a candidate would strongly encourage him to keep his word to this court and not seek the office for Constable Precinct 1, or resign as interim and in turn regain the appearance of respect and fairness. I can honestly say I have supported individuals of both parties and will continue to do so. Yet make no mistake that no matter what party affiliation, a candidate who decides to run to represent one must have one characteristic, and that must be of integrity. Thank you.
Know first of all that the Jefferson County Commissioner's Court, although it has the power to appoint, has no authority to unappoint an individual that's appointed. The sole means of removing an individual from office is Chapter 87.015 of the Texas Local Government Code. There are three separate grounds for removal. It is begun by any interested individual filing a suit in the district court. I'm sorry that this has arisen. I only know of three other times that it's arisen in the county where someone said they were not going to run and did. And in all those cases, it was Democrats. And so, but no, I don't think anything was said at that time. Circumstances did change. We were led to believe that Roderick Daniels was a shoe-in, and that changed. And, Roderick had 22 years experience, was a very well-known and well-liked individual, and is still very well-liked. for reasons I understand that were related to who he was going to hire as a campaign manager. I understand he was unappointed when I don't even know why he needed a campaign manager since he had a free pass into office. And I do not know the individual who has been appointed by the committee and can't, you know, I haven't seen her resume and have nothing to say about her, good or bad, or I'm not speaking ill of her appointment. The Commissioner's Court appointed Mr. Wiggins to fill the term based on the representation that Mr. Wiggins was not going to run. Those circumstances, that representation was made on the existing circumstances. And when those circumstances changed, he changed his mind. I understand that. I understand that his resignation with the work that the office had to do would not be the best thing for the office. I understand that. But I also believe that the best course to follow to protect the integrity of our processes would be to step down until such time as the voters have an opportunity to vote. But again, Mr. Wiggins, I don't think that's the best thing for your office. I know it will cause problems in the office. I know it will hurt you financially. But I don't think we can engage in semantics to try to justify things that just don't seem to pass the smell test. I have the greatest respect for you. You've done a wonderful job as a constable for many years, as a deputy constable. I have the greatest admiration for you individually, but I just think that our process as a court and our integrity would be best served by that quarterback.
Judge, commissioners, you know, this is, I've been around the county since 1991, and I have seen this occur before. I believe it occurred in the county clerk's office. I believe it also occurred in one of the precinct offices. I believe. I'm not sure exactly. This is slippery slope. I don't like the idea of being drugged into a fight between the parties. We have a job to do here, and that's to appoint individuals that can fulfill those duties in these elected positions when they're open. And so we go by based on what the legal requirements are to put somebody in that office. I don't really care what's been talked about out on the street or whatever. It's what they have in their requirements to fill that role. It does concern me, though, that this situation has occurred before, and what did we do to address it at that time? What was the action that was taken?
Can I answer that?
Yes.
When I ran for office, there were...
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry. When I ran for office, there was no Republican opponent, so I guess that's why nothing was brought. But I did use the fact that my opponent went against her word to my advantage, and yes, she did go back on her word. And can I say something at this time for clarification, Judge?
Yes.
Because I keep hearing people talk about the appointment, and then the appointment was taken back. Once on July 30th, when we held that meeting, when Constable Wiggins was appointed at the time, and I think that's the same day that we actually got Earl White's resignation. It wasn't until that week that I sent out to both party chairs about the process to fill a vacancy, that they were to hold an election from their precinct chairs in order to have a nomination. So as far as my knowledge go, there was no appointment at that time because it could not be.
Because
they had to hold an election in order to do that. So I don't know where everybody keeps saying that an appointment was made. There was no appointment, to my knowledge, at that time.
I was just told that Mr. Daniels had secured a majority of the precinct chair.
Oh, okay.
Their commitment.
Okay, I wasn't aware.
I think, you know, if you go back on the past, it was just based off what someone gave as their word and their commitment. But we as a court, as I understand it, as I'm corrected legally, you can't tell someone not to run. And we certainly can't dictate to each party what they should do, nor should we ever. We should not get involved in that process.
And I'm not suggesting that he shouldn't run, but since he did decide to run, I am suggesting that I think it's best for him to run.
Just think that's a fight that we need to stay out of. We go by what the requirements are legally to appoint someone, and we follow those requirements. And whatever they do in terms of changing their mind or like wordsmithing here, or going against their word, whatever, that's on them. The people will speak. Trust me. Now, somebody's not going to like what they have to say, but they will speak, and that's our process. And I think it's dangerous ground for us to get involved in that, any shape, form, fashion, whatever. We need to stay out of that and just concentrate on what our constitutional duties are in appointing people to fill these elected offices when they're vacant and what the requirements are.
Very quick, Judge. I'd like to introduce Ms. Paula. She is here. Ms. Paula, would you please stay? She's acting deputy constable now. And I totally agree with you, Commissioner Weaver, but let me say this, that had he been a Democrat and lied to me, I apologize. I don't mean you lied to me. When you changed your mind, I would not support him. Thank you.
Anything further on this issue? Not, we'll move on to item of the County Tax Assessor Collector. Item A, consider possible approval submitted to the DIR Shared Service Customer Form from Jefferson County to the Department of Information Resources. Again, security assessment for election systems, which is offered at no charge. Can I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senza.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That has passed unanimously. Under County Treasurer, item A is receiving file the investment schedule for August 2018. Including the year-to-date earnings on county funds. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Under Management Information System, item A is consider properly approved by authorized county judge to execute receiving file SPSVAR services agreement between Jefferson County as a recovery machine in case of emergencies. And item B is the same issue. Do I have a motion on that item?
Move.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold.
I'll second it, but let's get him up here. Give me a little bit more.
Seconded by Commissioner Alford. Now, discussion. Is anybody here from MIS? Mr. Ross? I know we can talk about this.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Do you have a question about it, or just want to
just give us an overview of
it? All right. What we're looking at is the system that does our financials, the company that handles our financials, HDE, Fundguard. They have and we're kind of looking into them as a way to be able to verify that we are able to restore our system to our expressively our ASRO system. Where all the financials are at, to be able to set up a system that's duplicate to ours where we can put our backup on it and verify that it'll be restored.
Okay. That's good enough.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. And that completes our regular agenda. Is there anything any member of the court wishes to bring to the attention of the public without our taking action?
Judge, we never did acknowledge, you know, the governor, Senator McCain, who I admire. We never did acknowledge that. I'd like to take this moment to say that's the type of people that I, person that I was talking about when I said the state. Didn't agree with everything he did, but everybody don't agree with me, but I admire him.
Judge, I have one thing I want to also put in. We have our second health fair, which will be this Saturday at Cathedral Faith Baptist Church. It is Take Yourself and Loved One to the Doctor Days. You know, it's meant for, more than anything, the family, and it's free. It started off for men, because you know men, for some reason, don't go to the doctor. I don't know why. But it is free. We want you to come out and enjoy. And thanks for all the volunteers around our county, because that's what helped make it happen.
And I would like to mention that this past Saturday morning, the Executive Association sponsored the Nation's River Rally at the Collier Ferry near the Bumline Country Club to celebrate the opening of their third canoe and kayak trail. They also have some trails that are accessed at the saltwater barrier boat launches up at the LSDA facility. A lot of kayakers and canoeists up there. Big Ticket Association does a great job of preserving the Big Ticket, which runs from Beaumont all the way up, I believe, across Nine County. And it is a United Nations Education Scientific Organization, a UNESCO biodiversity site that's recognized for the diversity of its flora and fauna. And people in Jefferson County, I hope, will take advantage of this gem of a natural marvel that we have the opportunity to enjoy. There's great hiking trails, the Turkey Creek Trail, 8 miles north of Coons on the, at the Big Thicket headquarters, there's a big sandy trail. You can only hike the Turkey Creek Trail. It's 17 and a half miles, I believe. I've hiked it numerous times. You can hike or bike on the Big Sandy Trail, and there are numerous other trails that are on the maps at the park headquarters. So if you have an opportunity to get out, rent a canoe, or get your kayak, please take advantage of one of those trails and all the work that the Big Fishing Association does.
Judge, one thing, on the Jasper thing, did they have an idea when it would come back to
Jasper, that they're having the meeting the 19th. At that meeting, and Mr. Johnson is here, and I know that GMJ has been consulting with Jasper County on that issue. But Mr. Davis told me that on the 19th, they're going to ask that they do a study of the impact on the cog, and this cog in particular. So I imagine it'll probably be after the 19th. As far as hurricane recovery is concerned, there's been $1 billion spent by the federal government in Jefferson County so far. We were the second most impacted county out of the 41 counties that had a declaration for individual assistance, and the 53 counties that had a declaration for public assistance. Much of that $1 billion was spent in national flood insurance claims and FEMA individual assistance, up to $32,000 per individual, and SBA loans and housing and short-term housing and hotel accommodations. And there's been several million more that have been spent by the Red Cross here. The unfortunate thing about disaster recovery, and what I've been speaking on with federal and state legislators since Hurricane is that every natural disaster in the United States for the last 20 years has been handled the same way. You have a natural disaster, then a presidential disaster declaration is in. Once that's done and you know the response is over and the people are rescued, the search and rescue missions are over, then it goes to Congress to do a supplemental disaster appropriations bill. That takes about 3 months. Then once the disaster appropriation bill is done, the money flows over to HUD and FEMA and Homeland Security. They then have to get with whatever state agency is heading it, in this case, the Texas General Land Office, and do a state action plan about how the money's gonna be spent, how long-term housing and short-term housing recovery is going to work. And That takes about another 3 or 4 months. By the time the state agency does it, it goes up to D.C. and it's changed again as it was in the aftermath of Harvey. From what previous disasters had, the way they had been handled, where the councils of government were not involved in eligibility and long-term recovery. Once that happens, a contract entered into between the state and the federal government goes out for public comment, and then the state agency has to get involved in procurement of contractor services to begin the housing recovery mission. That takes 4 to 6 months. And what I have asked Congress to do is to do what we do every year in our budgeting process. We will put many of our budget items into contingency items so that we can use them in the event they're needed. You know, even with our sheriff's cars and precinct vehicles, you know, yeah, it's got 150,000 miles, it's not running too good, we'll put it in contingency to see if it breaks down, then we'll get another vehicle, but let's not do it unless we have to. And what I've been trying to push the federal government to do is to do a contingency appropriation of several billion dollars in advance so that if there's a presidential disaster declaration, FEMA and HUD can access those funds. And in addition to that, every year in April, we do pre-disaster contracts. We contract in advance for everything we're going to need in the event of a natural disaster, for debris removal, for monitoring services, for generators, for everything that we could conceivably need in a disaster to make sure that our response and recovery is up. That's the same thing that the federal government should be doing. Texas, California, and Florida has the most natural disasters of any other state, and Texas is number one in natural disasters. FEMA and the state, in advance of every year, should have a pre-disaster contract in place about how they're going to handle housing recovery in the aftermath of a disaster. They ought to pre-procure contractors like the county does to be able to come in and work on a home. So instead of taking a year to be in the design and implementation phase, we can be very first day. We've already selected our contractors. We already have a state action plan. We've already got a contingency appropriation of funding. We can implement a program as opposed to designing one and spending a year doing that. And I'm hopeful that Congress will take that up this session and that it will become a reality. But back to the point is that General Land Office just last week finished their procurement of the contractors, and they should begin the long-term housing recovery mission in our county very soon. And so that's where we stand, but it's never soon enough.
Thank you, Judge.
Judge, you went through a litany of things, and it's great, but you know, it's a shame because it looked like it's by design, and it's a shame because all it does is hurt the local people, and you know, our reps on that level should be fighting and screaming and hollering right now. I don't hear none of them.
Anything further, Commissioner? If not, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here today. We're adjourned.